Chapter 34, Discovery Techniques Overview. There is no one perfect taxonomy for discovery techniques because several of the techniques are helpful for multiple different situations. Regardless, following are the key techniques in the framework that I personally use and find helpful. Discovery framing techniques. Framing techniques help us to quickly identify the underlying issues that must be tackled during product discovery. If we're handed a potential solution, we need to clarify the underlying problem to be solved. We need to tease out the risks and determine where it makes sense to focus our time. We also need to ensure that we understand how our work fits in with the work of other teams. Discovery planning techniques. There are a few techniques that are useful throughout the product discovery effort and help with identifying the bigger challenges and planning how you'll attack this work. We'll discuss these here. Discovery ideation techniques. There are, of course, any number of ways to come up with ideas, but some sources are better than others in their potential for keeping us focused on the most important problems. Ideation techniques are designed to provide the product team with a wealth of promising solutions aimed at the problems we're focused on now. Discovery prototyping techniques. Our go-to tool for product discovery is typically a prototype. We'll discuss the four main types of prototypes and highlight what each type is best suited for. Discovery testing techniques. Product discovery is mostly about quickly trying out an idea. We are essentially trying to separate the good ideas from the bad. Here we are defining a good idea as one that solves the underlying problem in a way that customers will buy, they can figure out how to use, we have the time and skills and technology on the team to build, and that works for the various aspects of our business. It's important to recognize that many ideas don't have that much risk associated with them. They may be very straightforward, or they might just have one area that's a risk, such as our legal department's concern about a potential privacy issue. Occasionally, however, we need to tackle much tougher problems, and we may, in fact, have significant risks in most or even all these areas. So, the way to think about discovery is that we only validate what we need to, and then we pick the right technique based on the particular situation. Testing feasibility. These techniques are designed for the engineers to address areas where they identify concerns. The solution being tested might require some piece of technology that the team has no experience with. There may be significant scale or performance challenges, or there might be third-party components that need to be evaluated. Testing usability. These techniques are designed for the product designers to address areas where they have identified concerns. Many of our products have complex workflows, and the designers need to ensure their interaction designs make sense to the user and potential sources of confusion are identified and preempted. Testing value. Much of our time in product discovery is spent validating value or working to increase the perceived value. If it's a new product, we need to ensure that customers will buy it at the price we need to charge, and that they'll switch from whatever they're using today. If it's an existing product and we are improving that product, such as with a new feature or a new design, where the customer has already bought the product, we need to ensure the customers will choose to use the new feature or new design. Testing business viability. Sadly, it's not enough to create a product or solution that our customers love, that is usable, and that our engineers can deliver. The product must also work for our business. This is what it means to be viable. This means that we can afford the cost of building and provisioning the product and the cost to market and sell the product. It needs to be something our sales force is capable of selling. It means that the solution needs to also work for our business development partners. It needs to work for our legal colleagues. It needs to be consistent with our company's brand promise. These techniques are about validating these types of risks. Transformation techniques. When working to migrate your organization from working the way you do today to working the way you believe you need to, there are a set of techniques that have proved to be helpful for transforming how you work. So, as you can see, we need quite a range of techniques. Some of the techniques are quantitative and some are qualitative. Some of the techniques are designed to collect proof, or at least statistically significant results, and some are designed to collect evidence. All are designed to help us learn quickly. To be clear, I am sharing the techniques here that I believe are essential for any modern product team. Over the course of a year or two, you will probably use each of the techniques at least several times. There are, as you might imagine, many other useful techniques based on specific types of products or situations, and new techniques are always emerging. But these are your go-to techniques. Discovery framing techniques. Overview. Much of our product discovery work doesn't require a lot of framing or planning. We need to come up with a solution to a particular problem, and often this is straightforward, and we could proceed directly to delivery work. But for many efforts, this is decidedly not the case, and some framing and true problem solving becomes critically important. Big projects, and especially initiatives, projects spanning multiple teams, are common examples. In this section, I consider how we frame our discovery work to ensure alignment and to identify key risks. There are really two goals here. One, the first is to ensure the team is all on the same page in terms of clarity of purpose and alignment. In particular, we need to agree on the business objective we're focused on, the specific problem we are intending to solve for our customers, which user or customers you're solving that problem for, and how you will know if you've succeeded. These should align directly to your product team's objectives and key results. Two, the second purpose is to identify the big risks that will need to be tackled during the discovery work. I find that most teams tend to gravitate toward a particular type of risk that they are most comfortable with. Two examples I often find are teams that immediately proceed to tackling technology risks, especially performance or scale, and teams that zero in on usability risks. They know this change involves a complex workflow, and they're nervous about that, so they want to dive in right there. Those are both legitimate risks, but in my experience, they are generally the easier risks to tackle. We must also consider value risk. Do the customers want this particular problem solved, and is our proposed solution good enough to get people to switch from what they have now? And then there's the often messy business risk, where we have to make sure that the solution we come up with in discovery works for the different parts of our company. Here are some common examples of that. Financial risk. Can we afford this solution? Business development risk. Does this solution work for our partners? Marketing risk. Is this solution consistent with our brand? Sales risk. Is this solution something our sales staff is equipped to sell? Legal risk. Is this something we can do from a legal or compliance perspective? Ethical risk. Is this solution something we should do? For many things, we won't have concerns along these dimensions, but when we do, it's something that we must tackle aggressively. If the product manager, designer, and tech lead do not feel there's a significant risk in any of these areas, then normally we would just proceed to delivery, fully realizing there's a chance the team will occasionally be proved wrong. This, however, is preferable to the alternative of having the team be extremely conservative and test every assumption. We like to use our discovery time and validation techniques for those situations in which we know there's a significant risk, or where members of the team disagree. There are many ways to assess an opportunity. Some companies require significant rigor and analysis, and others just leave it to the product team's judgment. In this section, I describe three of my favorite techniques, each for different-sized efforts. One, an opportunity assessment is designed for the vast majority of product work, which ranges from a simple optimization to a feature to a medium-sized project. Two, a customer letter is designed for larger projects or initiatives that often have multiple goals and a more complicated desired outcome. Three, a startup canvas for those times you're creating an entirely new product line or a new business. Note that these techniques are not mutually exclusive. You may find it useful to do both an opportunity assessment and a customer letter, for example. Problems versus solutions. There is an underlying theme you'll see in all framing techniques, and the reason is that it's just human nature for people to think and talk in terms of solutions rather than the underlying problems. This applies especially to users and customers, but also applies to stakeholders in our business, other company execs, and if we're honest with ourselves, it very often applies to us as well. This problem famously applies to startup founders.
Founders will often stew on a potential solution for months,
if not years, before they get the funding and the nerve to pursue it. But one of the most important lessons in our industry is to fall in love with the problem, not the solution. Why is this so important? Because, more often than not, our initial solutions don't solve the problem, at least not in a way that can power a successful business. It usually takes trying out several different approaches to a solution before we find one that solves the underlying problem. This is another reason why typical product roadmaps are so problematic. They're lists of features and projects where each feature or project is a possible solution. Somebody believes that feature will solve the problem or it wouldn't be on the roadmap. But it's all too possible they are wrong. It's not their fault. There's just no way to know at the stage it's put on the roadmap. However, there very likely is a legitimate problem behind that potential solution, and it's our job in the product organization to tease out the underlying problem and ensure that whatever solution we deliver solves that underlying problem. A small amount of time up front framing the problem to be solved and communicating this framing can make a dramatic difference in the results.